We're doing the Lashet Ramban Torat Hashem Tmima. We're on page Chet in the Chazon Yoel edition. And the Ramban's purpose again with this essay is to show how the Torah is holistic. And he began with the thought that all of creation is for man. And man was created with the responsibility to recognize his creator. I opened it to the right page for you. Yes, in that edition it's Chavtet. That's fine. In the Beit Ayin edition it's page Chavtet. So man has a responsibility to recognize that there are behaviors that are positive and negative. And if man does not recognize that, then man will behave like an animal. And then the purpose of his creation has been nullified. And that's what our sages said, that if the Jews would not have accepted the Torah, God would have destroyed the world, meaning if we wouldn't have wanted to understand, so then the purpose of the world is annulled. It doesn't have to mean literally Hashem would have dropped a hydrogen bomb and destroyed the world. That was the Ramban we saw until now. Now the Ramban continues and he quotes the Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra preceded the Ramban. And even though the Ramban will often argue on the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban held the Ibn Ezra to be a very big rabbi. He held him in high regard. The Ibn Ezra wrote a commentary on Torah and parts of prophets where the Ibn Ezra pursues a path of pshat. The Ibn Ezra attempts to show us what the verse means on the level of interpretation of pshat, the simple level of interpretation. We know there are multiple levels of interpretation in Torah. Pshat, remez, drush, sod. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yes? We say that the Torah was given to us with multiple layers. So there's pshat, when you read it, the simple understanding. Then there's remez. There's a deeper layer of what's being alluded to by what's being written. That's layer number two. Then there's drush, what's derived. And then there's the sod, the secret behind everything. Pardes, the acronym is Pardes. Yes, Pardes in Hebrew is an orchard. So we have four levels of interpretation. Ibn Ezra wrote a commentary where he strives to show the pshat level. And often, Ibn Ezra gives a totally different understanding than the understanding our sages presented. He's not arguing with our sages. He's just showing that level of interpretation. Our sages gave us a drash on a pasuk. So you read the story of the Akedah, Abraham binding his son Isaac. Our sages say Yitzchak was 37 years old. There was complete consent. And they were partners in the act of the Akedah. Comes the Ibn Ezra and says, Yitzchak was a little boy. That's a simple reading of the story. And then the story plays itself out a little bit differently if you read it with that interpretation. So the Ibn Ezra is not coming to argue on our sages, but rather give another level of interpretation. Now the Ramban is going to quote the Ibn Ezra. And the Ibn Ezra, in his introduction to the Torah, speaks about the purpose of creation. Now what's very tricky when we read the Ibn Ezra is that the Ibn Ezra is so focused on talking about pshat, but in fact the Ibn Ezra was a great Kabbalist. And the Ibn Ezra every so often says, there are great secrets in this verse, but let's talk about pshat. When he's playing both sides of the coin. On the one hand, he's alluding to the secrets, and sometimes he says, this pasuk is all about secrecy. Everything about this pasuk is not the pshat. And yet most of the time, he's coming and showing us the opposite extreme, the simple understanding of the pasuk. So in his introduction to Torah, the Ibn Ezra writes the following, V'Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, Marchik ze sheyehe ha'olam nivra b'shvil ha'adam. The Ibn Ezra, in his introduction to his commentary on the Torah, says that it is very unlikely, it is not right to say that the whole world was created for man. Kmo shamar, as the Ibn Ezra himself writes, ve'ha'omrim she'bera'o la'arot gvurato la'adam shu shosh yitzirato, and those who say that the world was created to show man how great God is, He says, their answer, their miserable answer, is but a minuscule portion of the great question. There's a great question, all the cosmos and all the molecules. You look at the broad picture, you look at the minuscule picture. You have a great question about why the world was created. And now you're saying it was for man's perception. No, says the Ibn Ezra, that's not so. The world was not created for that. Ah, you want to know why the world was created? That's a secret. I'm not telling. That's what the Ibn Ezra basically writes in the introduction. He says, yeah, when you'll be a big Kabbalist, then maybe you'll start understanding what's going on here. But to say that the whole world was created for man to have an appreciation of the greatness of Hashem, no. And the reasoning behind this is because the Ibn Ezra says Earth is such a minuscule element within the great solar system, within all the planets. To say all of this was just created for man to say God is great, no, too much. Too big a world. Yeah. Little man, great galaxies, no. So why yes? Ah, he doesn't tell us why yes. Now go figure it out. Ah, okay. So let's hear the Ramban. He says, planet Earth is but a minuscule dot in the greater perspective of the world. So to say that's the point, but then why create this whole great, fantastic world? That's the argument of the Ibn Ezra. The tshuvot she'inan nechonot heshiv. The Ramban says, with all due respect, the Ibn Ezra's argument is wrong. But the Ramban says, I don't really want to dwell on this point, because the question of why did God want to create the world is something very, very deep, and I don't want to go into it right now. So he's not going into it. Ramchal speaks about it, and we discussed numerous times the idea that there are two levels to this question. You guys remember what I'm talking about? We discussed numerous times that there's the level where, why did Hashem do it? What do we know about why Hashem does anything? Then there's the level of what attitude should I have to Hashem's doing it? That's a totally different question. From my perspective, Hashem created a world to benefit man. That's the perspective I can work with in this. But that doesn't mean that my perspective is going to encompass Hashem's perspective. Those are two different questions. And so whenever we learn all these different answers, we have a few answers. Tikkun Olam, Nama Dekisufa, man is going to work so that he can earn his wages, so to speak. He will have God chose his splendor, God chose his greatness, God chose his kindness. These answers, they don't really answer the question if you're going to ask, why did Hashem do it? But they do give us a perspective, meaning there's a totally different attitude to life if you look at the world and say, this world is a punishment for what you did wrong in a previous life, or you look at the world and you say, this world is a reward for what you did in a previous life. Do you look at all the good and say, that was the purpose of creation? Ah, so why is there also some suffering? That's one of those questions. Or do you look at the world and say, no, obviously the suffering is what I'm here for. And the good, well, that happens to be a byproduct. And we tend to waver. Sometimes we feel like everything's bad, and sometimes like everything's good, and the perspective can really change that. Because within one day, a person can look at the different parts of his day, and it's a question of focus. So when our sages say, the world was created so that things will be good for you, well, that's a great perspective. Then I could be happy in life. And if I'm contending with challenges and I'm saying, yeah, but it's all for a greater good, so then I can be happy and I can feel purpose. And again, we're not asking what's going to be the opium of the masses. We're not coming with an attitude of the truth is irrelevant. Let's just see what works for us. We're saying that there are limited truths, and then there's a greater truth. The limited truths do not preclude the greater truth. We discussed this a few weeks ago. Your child asks you, "Dad, why shouldn't I put the fork in the socket?" So you could say, "Because I'm going to punish you if you do." You could say, "Because you'll get very hurt if you do." You could say, "Because all the electric's going to blow in the house if you do." You could say a lot of answers, and they're all true. There isn't. It's not that one answer precludes the other one. You could say, "Because I love you and I don't want you to hurt yourself," but maybe at his age he won't appreciate that. The curiosity of what would happen if he puts the fork in might override the fact that you said you love him. But what would happen if you say, if you put that fork in the socket, you're going to regret it. You're going to get punished worse than you ever did on anything else you ever did. You ask the kid, "Why aren't you putting the fork in the socket?" And the kid says, "Because Daddy promised me a really big punishment if I do." Is that the reason he's not putting the fork? Maybe that's the reason he's not putting the fork in. That's a good reason. And that's a true reason. Because if he did, you would punish him. So they're all true. One is the one he has to work with. The other one is the real reason. If he puts the fork in the socket, terrible things will happen. You ask a person, "Why don't you eat on Yom Kippur?" "Well, I don't eat because Hashem told me not to." And I don't know why he told me not to. It's part of my gaining atonement. But couldn't God have made it that you gain atonement by eating? He could have. Why do you have to suffer? So Hashem might punish me if I eat. And that's also true. They're all true. It's not that one is true and one is not true. So when we speak about why did Hashem create the world, well, there's an element of Hashem is benevolent, and he created a world where he does good unto us. That's true. Is that the only reason? Well, it seems not. It seems there's much more to be said. But that's why I'm saying our perspective on the question, just because it's limited, does not mean it's not true. Just like the child's perspective on the question of why not sticking the fork in. It's true. It's one reason. It's not all the reasons. You guys with me? Yeah? Okay, back to the Ramban. אבל בעלי נפש התנועה ובעלי נפש הצומחת כעשבים ואילנות, כולם מודים כי לצורך האדם נבראו. If you look around and you see animals and vegetation, so even the Ibn Ezra would have to agree when you look at our planet that our planet was created for the sake of man. The animals, the fish, the ecosystem, the plants, כמו שאמרו בסוף קידושין, the Talmud says, the Mishnah says in the end of Tractate Kiddushin, that did you ever see any animal working for a livelihood? All the different animals find their sustenance without working too hard. And they were all created to serve me, so shouldn't I certainly be able to find my parnasa without working too hard? So why do I have to work so hard? So the Mishnah answers, because I didn't live up to my responsibilities in life, because otherwise things would have worked out more smoothly for me. Why is it that Adam has to work the land in order to get bread? So coming back to the Ramban quotes that line. All of these, all of these creatures, the animals, the birds, the fish, the vegetation, they were all created to serve me, and I was created to serve my Creator. So the Ramban says, you see, the Mishnah assumes everything was created to serve me. Does that mean that I can exploit them? Does that mean that I can torture them? No. The fact that there is a hierarchy and they were created to serve me does not give me the right to take advantage of that hierarchy. In Judaism, we always say, when you have power, that means you have responsibility to be benevolent. Power is interpreted as the responsibility to do good unto others. If you're the husband and the Torah entitled you to certain decision-making in the finances of the budget, that means your responsibility is to take care of the kids and to take care of the wife. And if there's a limited budget for Yomtiv and you both need a new garment equally as much, you have to ensure that she gets it and not you, if you could only afford one, right? So you were given the responsibility. That means the responsibility, but to use it correctly, to use it for the benefit of others. If the king has, same deal. The king is given tremendous responsibility, tremendous power, so he's tremendously responsible to do good unto the people. Ve'im ein ani yodet koni klal b'riat ha'shvelim tov avohi. So the Ramban comes back to his original point. And he says, if the whole purpose of creation was to service man, and the purpose of man was to recognize his creator, so when man ignores his creator, when man does not recognize his creator, so then everything else is pointless. So when our sages said, if Israel would not have accepted the Torah, then the creation would have turned back to be empty and void, our sages were not necessarily saying Hashem would have banished the world. Our sages were stressing the idea that the purpose of the world would have been null and void. So if we take this one step further, that means that when we stand the Shmona Esrei, when we actually reset our connection and our purpose in life, we're giving purpose to other things as well. And if we want to apply this on a simple level, okay, your story, this chicken. Okay, I'll end with the story. It's a true story. People were sitting at a Shabbos table and they started serving chicken. So one guy gets his plate of chicken and everyone's sitting around the table. And he picks up his knife and he picks up his fork and he looks down at the chicken and he goes, "Oh boy, chicken. Oh boy." Picks up the fork and he jabs it into the chicken and he starts viciously slicing off a piece. He sticks it into his mouth and he's munching and he goes, "Oh, I am so happy eating this chicken." He's munching away and he sticks the fork in a second time and he viciously starts slicing away at another piece of chicken and he's munching. He hasn't finished the first slice and his eyeballs get big and he's punching away. "Oh boy, I am so happy to eat this chicken." And the whole table is looking at him. And he's so focused on the chicken. His eyes are big. And he's chewing away. And as he's masticating, he takes the fork and jabs it in a third time. Picks up the knife and he starts cutting away. And he looks down at the chicken and he says, "I am so happy they killed this chicken." Okay, so the whole table, no one wanted to eat chicken after that, right? But there's an element of truth. Like, it's a funny story, right? The guy's sitting there and grossing out the whole table. You know, he's fighting the chicken as he's eating it. You see, Tim, what?
Was this a parable? This happened?
No, this happened.
This
is a true story.
Oh.
My brother was at the table with this guy. So the guy's sitting there. Something wrong with him, right? He's killing the chicken as he's eating it. And he's like, "I love chicken, right? I'm so happy they killed this chicken." But the truth is that if I'm leading a life the way I should, so then if I'm wearing a belt and they needed to skin an animal for me to have that belt, and if I have to eat chicken because I do need some B vitamin and I do need the proteins that chickens offer, and there's a certain element of health that I gain from eating the chicken, well, then that really is the purpose that chicken was created. The chicken was not created to stand there pecking and eating and balking and continuing pecking and eating and balking. That was not the purpose of its creation. Its purpose was to be a partner in leading a moral, ethical life with the recognition of Hashem as master of the world. Well, the chicken can't do that. So the chicken can be a partner in my doing that. So if I'm doing it with the right intent, so then obviously I won't want to torture the chicken. I'm not going to try to hurt the chicken. That's why Rabbi Feinstein has a response where he discusses that it's improper. He doesn't say prohibited again. He says it's improper to eat those soft meats that they produce by growing animals from the day they're born in this little cage. I don't know what it's called. It's veal, it's called. So the animals are grown in a little cage so that they cannot stand up. So their whole life they're just eating and their legs are always weak. They never develop muscles, so all their meat is soft. And this way, when you slaughter the animal, so you get really, really soft meat. So Rabbi Feinstein writes about that you're leaving the animal to lead a life of suffering so that you'll have really soft meat. So you can't say it's prohibited. just like hunting. It says in the response of the Chacham Tzvi, they asked him, am I allowed to go hunting? Is a Jew allowed to go hunting? So he says, you know, you're not supposed to enjoy the suffering of another creature. As far as your traits, that's not the way you should be behaving. You can't. So Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is when it's not for a real use. You cannot say that hunting is not a real use. The guy, you know, that's his sport. So the problem is a problem in terms of his personality. That shouldn't be his sport. But when we speak halacha, so you have to delineate between two realms. In the realm of Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, so Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is when you've caused pain to an animal that's not for a cause, that's not necessary. So just like you want, for one person, he'll slaughter the animal to eat it. So for the next guy, he's willing to spend more money hunting the animal than you would spend to eat it. So is this more Tzar Ba'alei Chaim than that? Is this more need than that? So that's enough of a need that you cannot prohibit it. That's why I said, it's not proper. It's not the way a Jew should behave. Your sport, your fun should not be that this poor animal is running away and your fun is at its expense. But that's a question of personality development. To prohibit it, you cannot prohibit it from the angle of saying it's Tzar Ba'alei Chaim. You're causing pain to the animal. It could be it's more painful for the animal to travel the Sahara. It could be it's more painful for the animal to be a pack animal. When you hunt an animal, okay, animals are, I don't think they have the emotion of, oy vey, there's chasing after me. They have the intellect and the instinct to run away. Is it more painful for an animal to be rode upon its whole life? To work in the mill its whole life? I don't know. I don't know animals' pain. But we're allowed to use animals for a purpose. We're allowed to slaughter them, even for their hides. We're allowed to use them. But here your joy is its pain. So that's where it's not right to make a game of doing something that's hurtful to an animal. But again, it's in the realm of the way we should be developing our personalities. It's not the realm where you could say this is prohibited. You could say, as a Jew, you should have that compassion that you shouldn't want to do this, and you should have a sport a different way.